Well, good morning, everyone. Father, as we hear the music of a morning prayer, and as we will today begin with an evening prayer in Psalm 141, but Lord, just praying is such a blessing. So Lord, guide us today, and may you be honored in our hearts and even in our lips, with our lips, Lord, really, and help us to hear what you have to say. And then may we respond, Lord, with a willing heart, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 141, it's a great a little psalm from David, and it's very similar to Psalm 78, and to 38. 38 is a prayer for protection physically, pretty much from the enemy, and also chastisement for whatever you need chastising for, where God is chastising you. And Psalm 70 is a similar prayer. Again, they both have exactly the same term that this prayer starts with as far as make haste, O Lord. Make haste, O Lord. So I'll read it and then we'll look at it a little bit more carefully. But as we go through this, think in terms now, this is a little bit different prayer because it's actually praying not so much for physical protection. It's praying for safekeeping from wickedness. And I don't know if we pray for that or not. I don't pray for that as much as I should. I pray a lot for protection. In fact, I would rarely get in the car without asking for the Lord to protect during the drive. But that's primarily for physical protection. This prayer here is not so much for physical protection. It's for not falling into the traps, into the snare of the wicked ones and the wicked ones and the wickedness around us, enticing us with wicked things that look really good and really are profitable in the short term, maybe. And so we see in Psalm 141, this is a prayer for safekeeping from wickedness. So let me read it, and then we will go on from there. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. So we continue on these psalms, and it does give us, I think, even a more clear picture of the precatory psalms, where we read about coming against the wicked ones in such a ferocious way. And we talked last week about the importance of hating the sin and of loving the sinner, if we remember. We talked about not going so far with the sinner as to ever want to bring vengeance on them. We want to let vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But we need to hate it. We need to hate the wickedness. I think we're far too tolerant these days, accepting anything because we don't want to come against anybody. And I don't mean to be too vocal in the negativism, but wickedness is bad. And we see how it is so pervasive now in our whole culture, always has been. I mean, these Psalms are 3,000 years old. And you say, well, we didn't have problems back then. They had the same problems we have now. But, you know, governments come and go, and governments sometimes, we've had a history here of 248 years of just really the most remarkable nation ever in the world that really was founded, other second maybe only to Israel, founded by God with a great constitution, and we've had a godly nation. I mean, it really started out godly, didn't it? Very first expenditure that Congress made was to buy Bibles. Bibles went into all the schools. That was the textbook for the early schools, was the Bible. And we've gone so far away now because we don't want any Bible in the school. We don't want any prayer in the school. We don't want any Bible in the courtroom. We don't want any Bible, period. And so we have an engulfment of wickedness all around us, and we get so used to it that it's kind of hard to really discern exactly how we're compromising with it, I think. And a prayer like this that David has, I think, is really good for us all. So it is entitled in my Bible, Prayer for Safekeeping from Wickedness. And again, it's contrast. It's not just praying for safety, that I don't fall and break my leg. I mean, we want that. We want to pray for safety when we drive home today, that we don't get in an accident. I pray for that. But this is a little different. This is just wickedness general. I mean, you can get in an accident without any wickedness at all. It could just be nature's laws causes two forces to come together. There's going to be a problem, right? Not necessarily from wickedness. But we have the wickedness all around us. And if you'll follow through on this psalm, it seems to me like David would have written this during the years of being chased by Saul. And David was not the only enemy that Saul had. Saul had a lot of enemies. And so there's a big entourage would join with David when they saw how he was persecuted by Saul that would say, let's take care of Saul. Let's get rid of that wickedness. Let's take him out. Let's do this and do that. And David is constantly having to pray during that time to keep his focus on the Lord. And remember when Saul, a couple of times, the Lord would have enabled David to kill him or have him killed because he came right into the cave and so forth. And he wouldn't touch the anointed, would he? And then he really felt badly even when he cut the corner of the robe off of Saul. So he was very fastidious in a way of not crossing that line of coming against God's anointed. And yet he hated wickedness. And so here, this prayer is, keep me from falling into the snares of the wicked. And think about the snares of the wicked that we have today. Everybody's got a screen. And every screen has ads in it. And the majority of those have a wicked component to them. So much of the flesh, so much of sex, so much of, you know, I'm good and I deserve the best and, you know, no pain. Oh, no, no. If you have pain, we can't have any pain in this culture, you know. And we can't have death. Oh, my, we can't have anybody dying. Oh, God forbid. And how foolish that is, isn't it? We're going to have pain. We're going to have pestilence. We're going to have death. 100% of us are going to expire in these bodies, but not eternally. Anyway, David starts out here. Now, he ended Psalm 38 with this same request. Make haste to me. Oh, Lord, Lord, I cry out to you. And then again, I mentioned in Psalm 70, it's repeated twice, and it starts it here. Lord, this is Yahweh now. This is Jehovah God. I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Hurry. Now, we mention this every time we go through these kinds of prayers, how we want God to move instantaneously, right? And we turn around and look at the other way. When he tells us to do something, we delay. We make excuses. We say, oh, I got to pray about this one. Well, maybe you got to pray about it, but if it's from the Lord, it's already, what are you going to pray about? Maybe for understanding, that's good. But we really hear it's make haste to me or hurry. And we see David impatiently under a lot of duress at many times, it seems like. And if you would be chased by the top of the security group in the army in your nation for years, you would maybe see day in and day out fearing for your life, moving your family over to Moab because of even their danger here in Israel. So he is really under persecution, we know, and under wickedness, haste of wickedness. And so he often asks for, I want a quick response, Lord. I need you. Help me. Help me. And that's okay. Then he says, give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Hear me, in other words. So we have here about the ear. We have here about the hands. We have here about the mouth. And here he says, give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. So he gives us a voice. You know, we're the only creature that he has given the ability to directly communicate with, and we can talk to him, and we can hear him as well, maybe not physically yet, but we can hear him spiritually for sure. Verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Now, what kind of aroma is coming from your prayers? Is it a sweet-smelling incense? The opposite of that would be complaining, murmuring, like we see it filled with in the book of Numbers and Exodus and so forth. The children of Israel for 40 years, all they did was murmur and complain in unbelief. So most of those prayers were not really very sweet incense. I don't know what they prayed. But what about, it says my prayer, not talking about Israel, not talking about the wicked. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. Good question to ask myself. Now, there's going to be six lets here in this little prayer. And five of them are for me, and only one for the enemy. And yet I would think in a prayer against wickedness, it'd all be against the enemy. isn't that amazing? So this is really good. It's not about what those guys are. It's what about me? What about me? So he says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Does he see me with my hands lifted up as my offering, a sacrifice to him, as a daily sacrifice, as the afternoon sacrifice, evening sacrifice? And then verse 3, we can all relate to this, I think. Set a guard, O Lord, O Yahweh, O Jehovah God. Set a guard over my mouth. So here we have the mouth coming into it. We all have a mouth. And we all, the read one survey, we average opening it 700 times a day. And you women will love this. Men and women open the mouth the same number of times. Did you know that on average? The difference is the number of words that come out of the mouth is twice with women as it is with men. So there is a difference between male and female. Don't think we're all created the same. But set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. And going on along that vein, keep watch. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Ooh. What comes out of your lips? As I brush my teeth, I often think about when I get too much toothpaste out of the tube. Can't really get it, put it back in, can I? It's out. What comes out of my lips is out. I can't bring it back. And if I look and think of the number of times I wish I hadn't said what I said versus the number of times I should have said something when I was silent, I think I'm erring more on the times I've said things I wish I wouldn't have said. So keep watch, a good prayer. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And then how about your heart? Where does it come from? What comes into your lips? What comes into your mouth? It comes into your brain. It starts from the heart, really, doesn't it? Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Wow. Keep it out of your heart. Because if it gets in your heart, it's going to eventually come on out all over and certainly out of your mouth and lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works. Now, in your life, how much practicing wicked works is there? Now, most of us say, well, I wouldn't practice any wicked works. Oh, really? I think if I think it through, there's a lot of things in my life that I do over and over that are wicked. They're not right. My pride, my arrogance, it's always chopping up people. I don't know about actually in terms of wicked, but it is certainly offensive and harmful. To practice wicked works with men who work such iniquity. So, okay, now, how about this? I'm pretty good to believers. But the unbelievers, yeah. So I'm not to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. Now, it's kind of hard to watch a commercial these days about what's going on in our government and in Washington, with political things and all of that, and not see men working iniquity. I mean, that's all you, pretty much all you see. Now, we here see some good people, but there's a lot of iniquity there. How do we look at that? How do we handle that? Now, the five out of the six lets are all in a positive way, except this next one, and it's for good, but it's a negative. Do not let me what? Eat of their delicacies. Now, how many times do you see something wicked, and it's very attractive, isn't it? I mean, think of the rich and famous in a way, not that it means that much to us as believers, but it still looks attractive. Would you not like to have some of the things you see these rich people have in a way? Oh, if I could just maybe make a little bit more money, I could have some of that. I mean, that's a delicacy. That would really be attractive, isn't it? No, it says, don't let me eat of their delicacies. Or in David's case, particularly if he was surrounded by people who said, you know, let's take action against this wicked ruler, Saul. Let's do him in. That would sound really attractive, wouldn't it? Let's eat of those delicacies. Yeah, count me in on this. I'd like to contribute to this plan of bringing down this wicked leader that we have. Now back to a positive again. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness. So what David is saying, I would rather have the righteous strike me than being tempted by the wicked. Think of that, because that's absolutely opposite to our flesh. Our flesh doesn't like to be challenged by the righteous. It's like, who do you think you are correcting me? Or whatever, you know. But it's let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. How many times have you wished you had listened to the righteous when you were disagreeing with them because you didn't think they understood you and you didn't think they were right? And then later you see, hey, that was really great advice. I should have followed that. And let him rebuke me. These are the righteous. Let the righteous rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Ooh, the next time I react, I need to think of that. Oh, this is excellent oil. I don't feel like it. It feels like gasoline or kerosene, right? But it shall be as excellent oil. Let not my head refuse it, or my heart for that matter, or my ears. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be as kindness, and let them rebuke me, it shall be as an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Now think of that. We were mentioning that last week. Hate the deeds, but love the sinner. And so here, notice this. My prayer is not against the wicked. It's against the deeds of the wicked. So do you make that differentiation in your prayers? That you're really praying against the wicked deeds, but you're not praying against the sinner. I usually do it the other way around. I usually think, well, the deeds aren't so bad, but I can't stand the sinner, right? So I get it backward. But here it's, my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Now, a couple of examples here. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. So the 6, 7, and 8 are a little bit confusing on how it's interpreted. He's probably talking about the judges of Israel. There are good ones and there are bad ones. And the bad ones are going to be overthrown by the sides of the cliff, or at least eventually. And some of them will hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave. And of course, this could be taken a number of ways, as one plows and breaks up the earth. But anyway, this is the impact on the righteous by the wicked causes these things to happen, bones scattering, like chips flying at the mouth of the grave. They're just spread around, strewn around, and one who plows and breaks up the earth. So it's kind of a mess there. What's caused by the wicked to the righteous. But, or it can also be translated yet. So you can read that either, yet my eyes are on you, or but my eyes are on you, whichever you prefer. So these bad things are happening from the wicked to the righteous, but, or yet, my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord. Now here again, we had this before, but O God the Lord, we had it last Psalm as well. That's O Yahweh the Adonai, but it's Jehovah God the Lord. My eyes are upon you. Now, is that true in my case? As I think of the wickedness all around me, are my eyes on him? Are they primarily on him? Are they only on him? And where are you going to get refuge? In you. In you I take refuge. It doesn't say in your friends and in your all the busybodies that you'd like to talk and share how bad things are with the wicked. It says, I take refuge in you. Do not leave my soul destitute. And here is a prayer, really kind of the central part of this wickedness stuff. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Snares and traps, those were the way you captured people in those days, and we still know what they mean today. To snare us or to trap us. So I think this is a great prayer that we should remember. Keep me from the snares and the traps of the workers of iniquity. And then back to kind of the precatory thing in a way, let the wicked fall into their own nets. Remember, we used that example last week that, you know, David is not praying against them, but he's praying that they would receive what they're giving out. Like we shoot this arrow straight up in the air, you know, and when it comes down, it wipes you out, in other words. Or they set a trap. They set a snare. We had that again last week. They set a trap snare for you. I think it's a good prayer. Lord, let them fall in what they have set up. Mm-hmm. They meant it for harm. Okay, let them fall into it if need be here in a way. So he ends it there. Then let the wicked fall into their own nets. And then while I escape safely. So he's still asking for protection too. And as we see God using the chasing of Saul with David those years to develop his character and prepare him for what lie ahead, because they took him from a shepherd boy who had no experience with the world, really. He was totally with nature and keeping sheep, and he was very close to the Lord. It was such a beautiful thing. Now he's going to get thrust when he becomes king. He's going to get thrust headlong into all the wickedness and all of the evil that's going on. And I just think about our leaders today, or any day really, but how difficult that would be. I think about Mike Johnson always now standing for what is right and yet getting just hammered so viciously on everything, the good things and the things that aren't even so necessarily black or white. They're kind of in the middle, gets hammered on those as well. But yet the Lord is with him and the Lord is using him. The Lord is guiding him. But he and others, he's the only reason I bring him up so much is that he's the number three in our country as Speaker of the House, and he's so godly. And we have more godly people, but I don't know of any in the limelight as much as he's been recently. So pray for him. Big convention coming up next week and in Milwaukee, and praying for security and safety for everybody there. Really, the platform that we were praying about a little bit came out this week, and it was okay, but it was the first Republican platform, I think, for I don't know how long, that there wasn't a reference to the sanctity of life. They were just silent on that this time, which is not the way it should be. But I understand Marsha Blackburn, the chairman of that committee, cut off the discussion earlier and forced a vote earlier. So now there's some amendments coming through to it. So we have that to pray for. It's still compared to the other party, it's still much more godly than the other side, but it's not perfect, but you wouldn't expect it to be perfect. But just pray for this convention that the Lord's will be done. And, you know, maybe the Lord is going to give us more wicked leaders, I don't know, as part of the judgment. So may His will be done. But we pray for things that would be usable by Him in this dark and dying world, that this nation, which is used so much in the past, could be used further. Not as an example of wickedness, but as an example of godliness. Father, we thank You for this psalm, and we do pray against wickedness. We pray against letting that be a part of our heart and part of our lips and part of our mouth. And so, Lord, guide us now as we have these moments to just listen to You and just respond to You, Holy Spirit. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but we know that You do, and we just want to be praying for what You want. And what You want will be done. What we want will probably not be done in Your mercy and grace, because You know that's not right for us and not the best for us. So lead us and guide us now as we pray in Jesus' name. Father, even thank You for King Saul, and Lord, having him not taken out earlier on by man's methods, but allowing You to show all the way through to the end. And to the end, he was so disobedient that You stopped speaking to him, and he died at the hands of the enemy. And Lord, it was just a great statement, as opposed to having it interrupted by man's irrational act at the wrong time. And so, Lord, just help us. Help us every time we think we need to jump in to help You out because You can't do it, or because You can't do it quickly enough. And my plan would enable it to be done today, and Your plan seems to be stalled out. And so we know that's not true, Lord. We know that You will handle all the wicked. There's no wicked that's not going to be punished. There's no sin that's not going to have the results of that to be taken into account. And so, Lord, help us to trust You and let You do it, and help us to take care of ourselves. We see this prayer, for example, it's just so much on us, so much on me, and not so much on them. And my life is the other way around. I look at them, and I think pretty good of myself, and just have it absolutely backward most of the time. And so, Lord, You'll take care of the wicked, but help us to do what You would have us to do, to honor You, Lord, in all things. And again, a sweet-smelling incense to our prayers, and yes, that's so beautiful. And then, Lord, guard my tongue, guard my lips. I think of that proverb, which it says, basically, if we talk long enough, sin will come out. And so, Lord, may our words be few, unless they, not fewer than what You have for us, but not more than what You have for us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You that You have met us again this morning as we come to the end of the hour. Lord, such a few minutes, such a short time, but yet You heard our prayers. And Lord, I just want to ask one more time for this nation. We are more vulnerable than ever before. We have thousands of terrorists have come in through the 11 million or so that have come in through the open border, and so many countries have gotten rid of even mental patients and so forth and sending them here. And Lord, our whole safety always depends on You. But even now, even more so, because the wicked are so tempted just to overrun. And Lord, I know there is a lot of intelligence concerns about the month of August, Ramadan and so forth, and expecting these terrorist groups, which are already here inside, to do whatever they're going to do. And Lord, it's all part of Your judgment, I know. And it's what we need is not what I hope we get. What we need is just judgment. And yet that's coming. And I just pray for Your mercy. And I pray that the church would stand. I pray that the believers would stand up and just do what is right, Lord. And we would be active in that, Lord, not just passive, saying You'll take care of it and we don't have to do anything. You'll take care of it, all right. But Lord, I think You've got us here for a reason. And that's to see more come to You just by seeing You in us. And so help us, Lord, in that way. So, Lord, let us just close with this one song. as kind of sums it all up, and that is just turn your eyes on Jesus. So let us stand and sing this, if we may. It's just very short.
Sing that.
Thank you, Father, for meeting us here. In Jesus' name, amen.